Hopkins, Jr. Our speaker this morning is Brother Gilbert Baldwin. The sermon title is A No-Limit Faith. Scripture reading will come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. And our scripture reader will be Greg Shriver. Presiding at the Lord's table this morning is Jerry White and Bob Bowen. And at the appropriate time, closing prayer will be given by Brother Greg Shriver. Our first song this morning is going to be 392. Before we sing that, if you would bow with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come here and worship you. We pray this morning that everything that we do here and say will be proper and correct in your view. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. 392. Sing all three.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look, thy faith has seen my friend, trust in his promises, friend. Sing and we can be pressed on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul at home. Be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing we have. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Sing a prayer if we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark has vanished away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul and walk. Be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oh, we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's sky. With it seems the fortunes of earth round and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have blessings untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul back on. Be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymn book to page 546. 5, 4, 6. Sing all three.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who many sorrows bears apart that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto You, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day, for rising us from our beds this morning, for breathing into our lungs that the breath of life. And we're also thankful, Heavenly Father, with the weather conditions. We know the road conditions, that we are so thankful for You watching over us so that we could arrive safely for worship service. We appreciate You keeping us safe each and every day of our lives, Heavenly Father. We're also thankful unto You, Heavenly Father, for all Thy blessing. You continue to bless us each and every day, Heavenly Father, watching over us all of our lives, Heavenly Father, that You continue to watch over us each and every hour, each and every minute, each and every second of the day. We just appreciate that, Heavenly Father, the love that You show for us each and every day, Heavenly Father, even at times when we might stray away, Heavenly Father, that You are always there. You always have Your arms open for us to, so that we can return back into the fold, that You're so willing to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our transgressions, Heavenly Father, that You understand the flaws that we have as just human flaws, that You have always provide a way for us to return back unto You, Heavenly Father, that You have made a way for those that may not be Christians at this time, Heavenly Father, that they have this a path to salvation, Heavenly Father, if they should believe in Thy word, Heavenly Father. So appreciate it. To You for that. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that we can always know that no matter what happens in this life, Heavenly Father, we don't have to have any doubts. We don't have to have any fears, Heavenly Father. Just at the lowest moments of our time, Heavenly Father, that You always pull us up, Heavenly Father. You always are there. That we don't never have to feel alone in this world. We know that we have this avenue of prayer, that we could come to You with any problem, that we don't have to face anything alone. And we know that you will not let us deal with anything on our own, that we will not be overcome by anything, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful unto you for that. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to be with those that are sick. We know how important our health is to us, Heavenly Father, that they will be given the care that is needed so that they can be returned to their much and wanted health. And we pray now at this time, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our brother Gilbert Baldwin. We appreciate him taking the time to put forth this lesson. Pray that which he is about to share with us today, Heavenly Father, that we can apply to our daily lives, and that we can help to grow stronger spiritually with what we learn, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation as they can continue to attend to the needs of the building, to the needs of the congregation, to make sure that our worship service unto you is according to thy will. And we just pray that you would be with this nation, that you continue to be with this world. We know we have a long ways to go, Heavenly Father, before we can truly find peace. We know that this world and this nation have to get the division and the hatred and get all the differences out of the way, Heavenly Father, to follow thy word, to follow thy way, thy will, Heavenly Father. And we know this world would be such a better place for each and every one of us to live in. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to watch over us throughout this day, that you continue to watch over us throughout this week, that you continue to keep us safe. Pray that you forgive us of our sins. And we ask for all these things in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn book to page 361. 361. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Can never be paid.
We come to the Lord's table this morning to remember that great sacrifice by Jesus so that we might have life ever after. On the cross, he gave his body. 3 days later, he arose. We're here to remember that. Let's give thanks now for the bread, which is symbolized by the bread that we're about to take. Dear Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we take of this bread, that we examine ourselves, that we take it worthily, and that we focus our minds upon the cross where Christ voluntarily gave up his life and conquered death, that we may do the same if we have faith in him. As we take of this, dear Father, let's think of that great sacrifice to you and that great blessing to us. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, how great thou art. We thank you for thinking of me, a sinner, condemned and unclean, that you thought so much of me, that you sent your Son, who gave of himself, who shed his blood, that I might be clean and be able to be before you now, able to remember him in this way. Father, we ask that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, we remember the blood that was shed there, the drops of blood and the love that he showed, that dropped to the ground, knowing that his blood can continually wash us clean, white as snow. Father, as we partake of this, we ask that we remember each and every single day the love that your Son showed us. But moreover, Father, we thank you even more on this first day of the week. As we remember him, and this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If we've overlooked any Christian who wants to be served, please raise a hand and we'll see you're attended to. I see no hands, so we'll continue with the service. As a matter of convenience, we're using this opportunity to take up a collection for the saints and to keep the church performing the duties that it should perform. At this time, you have an opportunity to give as you have prospered. Let's go to God and thank Him for this opportunity. Dear Father, we thank You for this moment that we can gather together in peace and in comfort to proclaim Your word, to greet one another, to continue Your work here on earth. We pray that, again, we'll search our souls and that we'll give to You as we have prospered and as we have purposed in our hearts. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 858. 858. That will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 809. 809. We'll sing all three verses. I'd like to add all of the can stand, two stand.
Well, with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ending the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with our bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there, walking and talking with Christ as the eternal one, won't it be wonderful there, praising, adoring the matchless eternal one, won't it be wonderful there, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with our bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, joyously singing with our bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful then?
Morning. Scripture this morning will be coming from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The title for this morning's lesson is A No Limit Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And now, our brother Gilbert Baltman.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see all who are able to be here today. We're thankful to God for watching over us, blessing us, giving us health and strength to be able to be here today for this service. It is my prayer that all of us, when we leave out of here, we will be better than when we arrived. No need in coming to church, and when it's over, you leave out worse than you were before you got there. Our goal is to be better. You know, a lot of people spend time looking at others, and they fail to look in the mirror at themselves. So we want to do what we can to help one another as we go along. Somebody told me once when I was leaving out of here that I was stepping on their toes. And I told them, my feet are sore too. So I'm not here preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us. So we're here today to worship God in spirit and in truth. I don't know about you, but I get excited about God because it was God who woke us up this morning. It was God who clothed us in our right minds. It was God who touched us with the spirit of love and sent us on our way. I'm talking about God who sits high and looks low, whose ears are not so heavy that he cannot hear our feeble cry, who's been better to us than we've been even to ourselves. You know, it's God who gets us through each day. It's God who gets us through the rough times. It's God who gets us from one paycheck to the next. So don't give yourself too much credit. It's not because of our intellect. It's because God loves us, and he loves us unconditionally. Well, we want to say to all of our, pardon me, all of our guests, welcome. We're always happy to receive guests here at Ypsilanti Church of Christ. We hope your visit today is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. And we want you to know that if you have a problem with anybody or if anybody doesn't treat you kindly, they must be visiting too, right? So we're not going to put that on us. And so we are glad that we are here and we're thankful to God. Now, if I were to give a subject title today, it would be A No Limit Faith. We're going to talk about faith today. We have to know that in our individual lifetime, we are only limited by our neglect to use the gifts and the resources that God has poured into our lives. We've got to understand, there's no better life than the Christian life. Even though it may come with some hurdles, some bad times, some difficulties, there's no better life than the Christian life. There's no other life you can live where you can call on the high God of heaven. And he pauses his busy work just to hear our feeble cry. There's no other life you can live where you can have Jesus on the right hand of God pleading our case day in and day out. There's no life you can live where you can have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where it comforts us in our times of trouble. So if we don't use those gifts and resources that God has poured into our lives, then we will be limited. But I believe the Christian can have an unlimited life, a life with no limits at all. We have to engage our faith. When we engage our faith, we'll find ourselves living the type of lives we've always dreamed about. Not necessarily in terms of material things or possessions, but being able to go through life knowing that we are secure in the hand of God. Realizing that no matter what comes our way, there's something greater going on inside of us. That's the kind of life I want to live. So today I offer these points about faith. I want to talk about our faith today. So what really will help our faith is our perception of faith. And what I mean by perception, by way of definition, is that perception is the ability to understand. It's one thing to know a definition, but it's another thing to make application. You might read a word your whole life and just not realize how you can use it. And so our perception of faith, our ability to understand, really will help us to have a no-limit faith. Is everybody all right today? All right. Our ability to understand faith. I wish I could call some witnesses to the stand today. I need some witnesses to come up for a while. There's a man by the name of David. David was a man that had a lot of troubles. David had his ups. David had his downs. You might say the good, the bad, and the ugly. David was a man who relied and depended on God, even though he was the king of Israel. He was a man. When he was a young boy, shepherd boy out there in the field tending his father's sheep, when a lion and a bear came out at separate times to take away the flock, he fought them even to the death. This is the man who one day took a sling and a rock, wound it up, hit that giant Goliath in the head, killed the giant, ended up cutting his head off. This is the man who killed his tens of thousands in battle. But he had the ability to understand what faith is. And so, David is saying here in Psalms chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they know thy name," listen to this, "and will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." David understood that if I trust God, God will be my refuge in times of trouble as well as in fair weather. What David is saying, that is a result of faith. So, you know, instead of us giving up on God in times of trouble, that's the time not to give up on God, but it's a better time to give in to God. All right, I want to call Isaiah to the stand. Over in Isaiah chapter 26 and the verses 3, he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So what he's saying is, now, remember when we had David on the stand, David said God would be a refuge. Now Isaiah is saying he will keep you in perfect peace. God does not keep us in a peaceful circumstance, but he keeps us in perfect peace. You know, because if we relied on our circumstances in order for us to have peace, many of us would never have peace. As a matter of fact, most of us wouldn't even know what a piece of peace was. Right. But what God does, he keeps us in that perfect peace, which means a full peace. Though the rain may be falling all around you, God is keeping you dry. Though the earth may be shaken below you, God is keeping you on steady ground. Though your family, though your friends, sometimes turn their backs on you, Jesus will walk with you and talk with you and let you know that you are his own. And that perfect peace, it's not about what you have. It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are and who has you. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. It's one of my favorite verses. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. It says, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. And so Jeremiah is saying this. This man that trusts in God will be blessed. Now, one interpretation for blessed is happy. I don't know about you, but I want to be happy. I want to have joy in my life. Want to be like Paul. As Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. I want to be able to rejoice forevermore. I want to be able to, no matter what my day brings, I know God will bring me through my day. I want to be able to have a life. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I want to have a life. I'm not worried about anything because I know that God is holding me in the hollow of his hand. I want to be a blessed man. I want to be a blessed man. We all do. All right, I want to call another man to the witness stand here. How about Paul? I want to call Paul to the witness stand. Paul over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the verses 8. He says, but let us who are of the day put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, he says, the hope of salvation. Paul wants us to understand that there is something that is covering us, that's protecting us from the slings and the arrows of the devil. He said that even in close combat, the devil can never strike a mortal wound because our faith is covering those parts of our soul that really matter. And the devil cannot fight a man or a woman of great faith, because that man or that woman is depending on God so much so that when the devil is looking for you, all he sees is God. He'll have to turn away because he knows he cannot fight God. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. He says, it's the gift of God. So what we must understand is that faith is like an initiator of grace, in that it is part of this program. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, grace doesn't matter if you don't have any faith. God has provided mercy. But if you don't have any faith, you'll never receive that mercy. God has provided love. But if you don't have any faith, you never understand it. You never understand that love. God has been kind to us. And now, so our perception of faith, our ability to understand that faith is not something that's written on pages in the Bible. Faith ought to be something that is enacted in our daily lives. It ought to go from something we read on a page to something that is evident in our lives. Faith is what's holding up your hope. What's holding up your hope is that for God to be your bridge over troubled water. It's what's holding up your hope that God will make a way out of no way. Faith is holding us up. And then he says what I think is very interesting. He says, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the language here is really an expansion of what he said at first. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So what this Hebrew writer is trying to get us to see is this. If you don't have the right perception of faith, you will never be able to put faith in its proper perspective. That is, to view it in the right relationship to our lives. You know, faith is what's keeping us going when we don't even know what's keeping us going. What keeps you going to a job that you hate? But you know you got kids to take care of, lights to keep on, food to be put on the table, clothing to be put on the back. Faith keeps us going. What keeps you in a marriage that's rocky? It's faith. What keeps you from losing your mind when things around you are just falling apart? That's faith. Over there in the book of Matthew, the chapter 17, the verses 20, says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, there's that word again, the word faith. In other words, because of your lack of faith, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say, make sure you're reading this. You need to see this. Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible for you. Putting faith in its proper perspective. Now, God is using what is called an extreme dynamic. He takes the smallest of herb seeds, that little bitty herb seed, and he puts it up against the greatest physical creation that he's made on the face of the earth, and that's a mountain. So, in this extreme dynamic, said if you have faith this small, you can move something this big. That's faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Oh, yeah. That's when faith is put in its proper perspective. Our problem is sometimes we only have faith when we're sitting here in church, right? As soon as we leave out that door, our neck starts to hurt a little bit, our headache comes back, our nerves get bad again. You know, when you go to lay down in the bed and you start worrying about bills and stuff, and you go to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, what bills are you going to pay at 2 in the morning, right? Go to sleep, in other words, rest. Don't borrow sorrow from tomorrow. And so he says, in this extreme dynamic, faith the size of a mustard seed to move mountains. You know, a lot of things we pray for, God has already given us the tools to take care of it ourselves. So we're asking God to do something for us that He's already given us the equipment to handle that problem ourselves. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, I'm stop right here. Now this is a conditional phrase, meaning whatever is said after this is of utmost importance. It says, but without faith. Now whatever God has to say after this is something that we need to take note of. Well, what does he say? He says it is impossible to please God. Now, I know that if I want to go to heaven, God has got to be pleased with me. So I need to have that faith that God is going to see me through. Faith, that's something we just got to have. Because without it, I just read it, it is impossible to please God. It says, for he that cometh to God, stop right there. He that cometh to God is us. See, God has already sent the crown jewel of heaven. Shrink wrapped him. Let him be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes. God has already breathed life into his word. God has sent his Holy Ghost to be our comforter. You know, we've talked in the past about the paraclete. Now, we've got to understand, God has taken his steps. It's time for us to take ours. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we are doing God's work, over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, we have a tendency to get tired, you know, doing God's will. I've noticed that. You notice how sometimes when you're reading People magazine or Esquire or something like that, you can just read all night. As soon as you get your Bible out and start reading, the first word, the Lord is mine. You know what I mean? Okay. God is good. He knows us. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. See, we have that tendency, as I said, to get tired. And we feel that, well, I'm just going to stop praying. Because God didn't answer that prayer yesterday. Well, why don't you pray again today? Well, God didn't answer it today. Well, today is not over yet. In other words, don't get tired of seeking after God. God, he needs us to understand he's taking his steps. We need to take steps towards him. Why do we give up on God when God hasn't given up on us? All right, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, my last point today. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, this is putting faith in its proper perspective. What am I saying? Jesus said unto him, all things are possible to him that believeth. Got to understand. When you got faith, you got to use that faith to make things better. Over in Romans chapter 5, the verses 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we have? Our perceptus is faith. Our perception of faith sets us up to have the proper perspective of faith. Yes, it does. You know, in other words, we got to have faith. We got to have faith when we walk out of that door after service. Have faith when you're driving home in your car. Have faith when you get home and have to deal with your spouse and those children. Have faith when you're fixing dinner at night. Have faith when you're getting up to go to work the next morning. Have faith when you lay down to go to sleep at night that God is going to keep you safe and in the hollow of his hand all night long. Have faith when you wake up in the morning and you got to get through the day. Have faith in that rush hour traffic when you're trying to get to work. Have faith. Have faith when your boss is telling you that you've been late 3 times and if you're late one more time, you're going to be dismissed. Have faith. Have faith that you're not going to be late again. Have faith that when you go to the hospital, stop fretting about the results. Have faith. Trust in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So as I close today in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. We believe that God is able. We believe that this is the inspired Word of God. That document that became sharper than a two-edged sword. You might say, well, Brother Gill, what does the Bible say about the Church of Christ when we've got all these other religions out here around us? Well, the Church of Christ, the only one that can really trace its roots back to the words of Jesus. Folk ought to know that when they come to the Bible church, you can get a Bible answer from the Bible. You can do it. You've heard his word. Hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. Listen to this. In a public confession, we don't ask you where you come from. We don't ask you how old you are. We don't ask you about your family. We don't ask to see your W-2s so that we'll know how much you ought to be given. We don't ask you any of that. We ask you one question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? If you say yes, we will baptize you into that watery grave, cleanse you of your sins. Now, if you are already a member, straight away, been unfaithful or done things you know you shouldn't have done, why don't you come back? Come back today. Be restored today to the body of Christ. If you need it, you might as well come and get it. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
For the gentle voice of Jesus called us tenderly come on your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity.
Yeah.
Where will you rest?